Good afternoon, everybody. Hello? Can't hear you. Glad you're here. Glad you're here. I just want to share for a few minutes the... just turn me down a touch, Ben. Yeah. Can hear a ringing and echo. Thank you, that's better. I just want to share with you for a few minutes what baptism is really all about. Some of you may think, well, you know, I was christened in the Roman Catholic Church. I was christened in the, you know, you could say, well, I was christened in the Methodist or the Baptist or dedicated in Pentecostal Church, etc. So what's this full immersion that you're doing? Well, I'm going to just try and explain to you a little bit about it, and so you get an understanding of what is actually going on in the church and what is happening, what these people who have made a decision to follow the Lord Jesus and are following the Lord Jesus through the waters of baptism. You know, as I look around, I look and I see faces of people over the years that Grace and I have had the joy of leading to a knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And two of them, three of them possibly, if it wasn't for Christ, would be dead today. Yeah. No, four of them, actually. Four of them. And I count that as a privilege, an actual joy, of being able to introduce somebody to my greatest friend, my greatest helper, my greatest hope, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. And when you can lead somebody to Christ, that is the greatest miracle that you can ever see or expect. I look at Daniel today and I can cast my mind back 10 years ago and go, wow, who would have believed it? And today he's working by my side. He's now married. And we've got a beautiful, he's got a beautiful wife. Something to get emotional about. When you see people who are on the road to destruction, when you see people who are lost and their lives are heading towards absolute total destruction, and now you can look back and see that today they're walking with Jesus. They have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. He's their friend, he's their brother, he's the closest thing that they have, and this is tremendous. And so baptism is just that further step that for many of those of you who've just given your life to Christ in the last few months. Nearly 12 months ago, I was in at a motorbike show. Believe it or not, I ride a motorcycle. Yes, and I still do it. I was out Saturday riding, and I met a young lady here, Daria, at the motorcycle show. She was on the insurance stand and I needed to sort out my insurance. And I had a friend with me, and so we went on to the stand. I decided not to go on it. It was so busy and I was about to leave. And suddenly I saw that was passing the stand. It was empty. There was one person on it. So I thought, well, I'll go and ask the question. And as I went on to the stand and I spoke to Daria, I realised that she had an accent. It wasn't Lancashire, it wasn't Yorkshire, it wasn't Scottish, but she was Polish. I'm half Polish, my father's Polish, and so straight away we struck up a rapport. We got chatting and had a friend with me, and then we got down to business on the insurance. And she says, so what's your profession? So I said, I'm a minister. And my friend sat at the side of me and said, oh, he's a bishop, by the way. You know, and I'm like, hush, you know. But that's right, yeah, but that's true, I am. And so we went through this, and during the course of our conversation, we didn't do too much on the insurance initially, I began to tell her about the love of Jesus, and I began to tell her what Jesus had done. I began to tell her about the fact of seeing people, as we went on mission trip to Romania, seeing people healed, blind eyes open, deaf ears unstopped, and people being healed of cancer. And I was telling her all these things and sharing about the love of Jesus, and tears began to run down her cheeks. And at that moment I knew she was ready to ask the Lord Jesus into her heart and life. So I said, would you like to know Jesus as your Lord and Saviour? And she said, yes. I nearly got thrown off the stand, because behind me were other staff members looking on, and she's crying. Well, can you imagine what is going through their minds at that point in time? They're thinking, what is he saying to upset my staff member? You know, all this bullying type thing. And they were making moves to come towards her to sort of remove me from the stand. And then I saw this with her hand. I saw her do this. They'd already looked at her and said, do you want help? And she went, no, I'm fine. And I knew what was happening. But we said the sinner's prayer. We led her to Jesus, and today she's going to go through the waters of baptism. We've stayed in contact. There is power in the name of Jesus. There is love in the name of Jesus. There is victory in the name of Jesus. There is healing in the name of Jesus. There is deliverance in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. He's the one who came to set captives free. He's the one who came to heal and deliver and set us free. And so today, as we celebrate with the lives of seven of those today who are going to go through the waters of baptism, what is it about? Well, you know, when Jesus first came on the scene, there was a man called John the Baptist, and he was baptizing people unto repentance for their sins. But he also said that there was a man coming, somebody greater than him, who would baptize them in the Spirit and in power. And that day he said that, Jesus turned up on the scene and said to John, John, I want you to baptize me in water. And John says, no, I need you to baptize me. He said, I'm not worthy to baptize you. I'm just a mere man. But you are the Son of God. And you know, as Jesus said to him, no, you have to do these things. That everything that has been written about me over thousands of years ago in the Bible will now come to pass. You see, every checkpoint has been checked when you go through the Old Testament and you arrive in the New when Jesus turns up. And so he said, do it. And so when he baptized him in that river Jordan, it says there that suddenly a voice from heaven spoke and said, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Hallelujah. God himself spoke from his very throne room and said, this is my beloved Son. He gave him the seal of his approval. He acknowledged who he was, the Son of God, that came as a man, born as a baby, but came as a man and became the Son of God through his obedience yet again. And you know, for the next 3 years, he went around healing the sick, raising the dead, saving people, speaking the word of love and truth to people. Jesus came for such a time as this today. Jesus came for you. You might say, well, it was 2,000 years ago. Yes, it was. But you know, when Jesus died upon that cross, he looked down the years, the eternities of time, and he saw your name. He saw you here today. He sees your future. How can he do that? He's God. He's God. And he looked down the corridors of time and he saw you. He saw your needs. He saw the situation that you're in. Some of you that are desperate to get out of it. And yet you've tried and you've tried and you've tried. Sometimes you think you've just about made it. You can change areas. You can change even countries, as Daniel did. But his problems, his difficulties, his challenges followed him. They would not let him go until one day he had an encounter with Jesus. And it is an encounter that we need to have with Jesus. And when you have an encounter with Jesus, then you can be delivered. Then you can be set free. Then you can begin a new life. Then you can have a new future. Then you have hope through Christ Jesus. We see Kerry, and Kerry is on that journey, bless her, pressing in. One day we were in this church, a few March time, wasn't it? I'm sorry. Well, you can repeat it. You can repeat it, because it's good that people hear it more than once, because they remember it, you know. It's said by John Wesley, you can preach a message 15 times before they begin to remember it. So we don't need many messages, Pastor. You know, we just need a few and keep going over them and over them and over until they really get it. So we do it simply. She came, walked into the church. Bless her. I heard this voice. We were in the back office, heard this voice. We thought it was somebody else, and Kerry walked in. She began to tell us how she'd given her life to Christ, but I'll let her tell you the rest. What a joy it's been to begin this journey with her. Amen. I said to begin this journey with her. And the journey's not over. We continue this journey together. You know, when we stand together, when we pray together, when we sing together, when we encourage one another together, we can journey this journey and we can go through and come out in victory. Yeah. Amen. So baptism, what is it about? We'll get to it at some stage, I guess. It's about the fact of following the Lord Jesus in obedience to Him. When you've given your life to Him, it's about actually coming to the... what we're going to do in the future, we're actually going to build a platform, and it will cover over the baptismal tank here, and it will be in the shape of a cross. And so what you will see then in the shape of a cross, you will enter at the foot of the cross. Listen to me. You see, unless you can do it yourself, which you can't, the only way to come to Jesus is through the foot of the cross. And so what we're going to do is, we're actually doing an actual physical reminder. We're actually imprinting it in our very souls and saying, I'm coming to the foot of the cross. And we enter in by the cross. If we want eternal life, we have to come to the cross. And we enter in by the foot of the cross. And then two of the church leaders will baptize. And baptize is by full immersion. And what baptizing is doing is actually burying the old Kerry. Yeah. Burying the old Christine. Yeah. Burying the old Daria. Yeah. Putting them to death. It's a funeral service, believe it or not. Yeah. Is it? Terry's over there, he keeps saying, how long are you going to hold me under for? Terry's going to be last. So he's very concerned about the fact how long we might hold him under, because there's been mutes of, you know, we may hold him under for some while. How long can you hold your breath? Did you nearly bring a snorkel? Yeah. We'd have put a thumb over the top of it. Yeah. But it's symbolic of burial. And so what we're going to do is we're going to immerse each individual in the water as a burial, as a sign of commitment, a secondary commitment to the Lord Jesus. And so then, you know, when Jesus was buried in the tomb for 3 days, it says on the third day, the stone was rolled away and the tomb was empty, because Jesus was risen from the dead. Hallelujah. He conquered sin, he conquered death, and he conquered it for you and for me, because Jesus was sinless. He had no need to die. It was impossible for him to die, because on the cross he said these words, "It is finished." And at that point in time, he personally gave up his life for you and for me. Amen? He was perfect. He was sinless. He was spotless. And that which is perfect, that which is sinless, and that which is spotless cannot die. But he took upon himself the sins of Andrew, the sins of Daria, the sins of Terry, the sins of David. It's the sins of the whole world. Those that were historically and those that were to come. And he paid that ultimate price that you and I should pay for our sinful nature. And then on that third day he rose again. Amen. Taking up his life, taking up his victory. Because in Jesus there is resurrection life. And so when we bury you in this water, we shall at some point in time, Terry, raise you to life in Christ Jesus. And then they will go out at the head of the cross, hallelujah, in newness of life. And that is the symbolism of water baptism. It is dying to the old self. Don't keep digging up the old self. Keep him buried. Keep her buried. Let Christ be the Lord of everything. You know, there's a story in the book of Acts where Philip was on a journey, and he met a man who just before I go to that, I just want to just quote you one other scripture from John's Gospel, chapter 3 and verse 16. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes on him should not perish, but have eternal life." And just before that, there was a man named Nicodemus. He was a rich religious ruler. And he came to Jesus by night, it says in John's Gospel. And Jesus, and he began to say to him, this man came to him by night and said to him, "Rabbi," which means teacher, "we know that you have come from God as a teacher, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him." And Jesus answered him and said, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." And Nicodemus said, "How can a man be born again?" I mean, think about it for a moment. Stand up, please, would you? Just one moment. Can you imagine a mother wanting to give birth to something that size? Huh? You know, 7, 8, 10 pounders, you're really beginning to cry out, aren't you? Huh?
11 pounds now.
You were 11 pounds, and look where you are now. Glory to Jesus. Sit down, thank you. So Nicodemus is saying, "How can a man be born again? How can a man go into his mother's womb and be born again?" And Jesus says, "Don't you understand yet? You are a teacher of God, and yet you don't understand what I'm saying to you." And Jesus says to him, "Truly I say, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. What is flesh is flesh, but what is spirit." And he says, "Do not marvel that I say to you, you must be born again." You must be born again. And as we remember that and just ponder that thought for a few moments, we realize that Jesus came that for each and every one of us, that we would find new life in Christ Jesus. We will find a new purpose for our lives. We will find a new plan for our lives. Yeah. And know the power of God working in us. Yeah. Flowing through us. And moving into our lives. You know, there was Stephen. No, it was Philip, wasn't it, that we're going to talk about. Philip, he was on a journey. And he drew by this chariot. And there was an Ethiopian man in it. And he was reading the book of Isaiah, and he couldn't understand it, and he was reading it out aloud, trying to understand it. And Philip looked at him and joined the chariot and said, "Do you understand what you're reading?" He said, "No." He said, "Can you explain this to me?" He said, "Yeah." So he said, "Come on." So he boarded the chariot and he began to explain about the Christ and who Christ was. And he began to explain to him that Jesus died on that cross and rose again on that third day, and that we needed to follow the Lord Jesus through the waters of baptism. And he looked at him and he said, "I believe." He said, and as they were passing, they were past this part of water. He said, "There's water here. What does it stop me from being baptized?" And again he said to him, "If you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, there's nothing to stop you being baptized." And he said to him again, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and I know I'm a sinner, and ask him to forgive me for all of my sins. And I ask him to come into my life and take away all my sins and to cleanse me and to make me whole again. Amen. That I might enter into the presence of Almighty God and enter into a new relationship." Today, today you can have that for yourself. Today it can be your day. Today is the day of salvation. Jesus came that you might have life and have it with an abundance. Amen. Can I just ask you to bow your heads for a moment, please, and close your eyes just for a moment. And I want to just ask each and every one of us today, I don't know everybody here today, but you're very welcome. But I'd like to ask you a question. Have you ever asked the Lord Jesus into your heart and life? Do you really sense at times that you need a change of direction? Do you ever sense that you really need to know this Jesus? To know this God that I'm talking about? To know this Son of Man, the Son of God, Jesus, who I'm speaking of as your friend and Saviour? That he can take you through life. The Bible says, Jesus said, "I'll never leave you and I will never forsake you." He's always there for us. There is always an answer in Christ Jesus. There is always a support and strength for you in Christ Jesus. And today, I want to give you an opportunity that if you're finding life has been challenging, and you're finding that today, as you've heard me share with you some of the things that the Lord Jesus has done in my life and the lives of others here, would you like to ask the Lord Jesus into your heart, into your life, and let him become Lord of it? Let him direct you and focus you, set you free, and give you a hope and a future. If you want that today, can I just ask, while every eye is closed, you just raise that hand for Jesus. If you want Jesus in your life today, just raise it and let him come into your life forevermore. Thank you. Thank you. The Lord sees that hand. The Lord sees your heart. He sees more than your hand. He sees your heart. And the Lord's reaching out to you right now. Is there anybody else? Anybody else? You know, once you make this decision, it's about stepping forward and moving on with Him. It's about letting Him begin to take control and direct your life and assist you through it. Anybody else? Just raise that hand for Jesus. Praise His name. Hallelujah. Let's just pray a moment. Father, we just thank You for Your word today. We thank You for the power that is in the name of Jesus. We thank You, Lord, that You came to set captives free. And Father, I thank You for this hand that has been raised. Lord, I pray that this will be the beginning of a great new journey in life in You. Father, I pray that You will place such a hope and a future in this person's life for Your praise and for Your glory. Father, I pray that from this day forward they will know Your presence in their life. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Praise God. Let's just rejoice. Hallelujah.